Yeah, big applause for you guys. Thanks for being the kind of church that loves our community like that. And it's just, this is a fun initiative that we've done for 18 years. This is the 18th year we've done this for Be Rich. And so thank you guys for leaning in. And the way that you give, there's still time to give if you haven't given yet. We can give all the way through October. Just go to our website and also too in the way that you serve. And so we're just so excited in the way that we're able to give, serve, and love our community and also to our world as well. So, today, I'll give you a little bit of behind the scenes. You know, we've kind of learned over the years that the best way that you can construct a sermon, okay, on a Sunday morning is to ask a question that is a common tension among people and then answer it. That's like the best formula. So if you're ever just out and around and you want to do a sermon, that's like the best place to start, right? And then I love on top of that to be able to ask a question that has a common tension, but also to a question that people have a hard time asking, that it's not easy to admit in their lives. And I love that. And I love today's message, and I love what we're going to talk about, because I'm really confident that today's question meets both of those criteria. I think it's a question that a lot of people ask, and I don't think it's a question that many people do ask, because it feels weird to ask it. You know, for us in faith, let me give you a little bit of a setup to tell you what the question is. For those of us that are in faith, we know that conceptually, we're called to serve the world, to serve other people. That's what, you know, you don't have to be following Jesus for very long for that to kind of find its way to you. You know, you're supposed to serve people close by you. You're supposed to be humble. You're supposed to serve the places where you live, the city. You're supposed to serve the world as well. And that's all pervasive through the scriptures, especially into the New Testament, is that we're called to be people that follow Jesus, but also to serve the world well. And we see it time and time again, including passages like this one in the book of Galatians, where it says this: serve one another humbly in love. And so we get this as part of our mandate, part of our mission as Christ followers, to be people that serve humbly and serve in love as well. And so like, okay, I get it, right? And so here's the question, knowing that that's the setup and that's what we're called to do, here's the question that I think people want to ask but don't often ask. And I sense this because in 25 years of standing on stages and being about this mission and telling people on any level, hey, you got to go serve and serve the people you're around and serve the city and serve the world, I've never had somebody come up to me after it and go like, yeah, and follow up, I have a question, because it's hard to ask this question. But in light of the fact that we're called to serve, here's the question that I think a lot of people ask in their head, and I do as well. Here it is. What if I don't feel like it? Right? I've never had somebody like, great sermon, thanks a lot, really inspiring. I don't feel like that, actually. But I feel like we feel it, right? Can I join you in this? I'd like to. And because to make it easier, I want to be along for the ride with you in this tension. Because I think you feel it, I think I feel it. And like you, I'm not particularly anti-service. I'm not against, like, I don't believe in that. I don't think theologically it lines up. I don't think, so, in terms of philosophically we should serve the world. Nobody is, like, against service, you know? I don't know that I am that way, but I'm like you in some days, if we can be together in this, is that I sit around and I see lots of opportunities to serve my world. I hear people that have needs. I sit in audiences where people like me stand on stages and are like, hey, come serve, do this, and volunteer hours here, and give yourself away and do this. And I sit there and I let it bounce off of me, and I'm like, oh, you almost got me that time. And, you know, I'm willing to kind of, you know, shuck and jive around those times and then kind of get back to real life again. I know what it's like to see somebody and one of my friends that's in need, and I'm like, oh gosh, I'm really be praying that somebody comes along and helps you. And the Lord's up there like, yeah, that person's you, please. And I'm like, oh, well, I got a thing, you know? And so I'm not particularly anti-service, but I know what that feels like. But I also know that there's reasons why we don't always love to serve our neighbor. This isn't sinister. It's not just because we're all bad people walking around like, we're not gonna serve other people. That's not what it is. There's reasons behind this, right? I mean, we're all busy. That's a huge one, and that's not a thing. I mean, we're busy, which makes a lot of times it makes us tired, and we're going like, I know I'm supposed to serve the world, but like, in what time? You know, in what extra time that I have, which is none? What extra energy that I have, which is none? Sometimes, yeah, we're tired, but sometimes it's because we're afraid, if I can admit this. Sometimes you're like, gosh, the thought of me engaging with across the city with another nonprofit or something, I have to re-engineer the way my patterns are, and I have to kind of step out of my comfort zone a little bit to serve other people. Or even, you know, in your own world to serve other people, that could be an awkward conversation. So there's fear involved in this. I think honestly, we can be skeptical about it. You know, people like me stand on stage like, you should serve in your life. And you're like, yeah, but what if I like serve and put all this energy and hours out there and, you know, I don't get anything back? Or if it doesn't pay back, you know? And these are all really valid questions. And somehow, you know, on my worst days, if I can say this, or honestly on many normal days, I lack the desire to serve that I wish that I had. I wish it was there, but my compassion for my neighbor a lot of times doesn't supersede the resistance that I have to serve them. And it's just a reality that I've noticed about myself, and maybe you do as well. I'd love to, but my compassion isn't just, it doesn't give me enough energy to come over the resistance of making it happen in my world. And I know I'm not alone. Hopefully I'm not alone in this. You know, and I know actually scripturally I'm not alone with this. You know, it's funny, there's encounters that Jesus have that reflect this as well, even 2,000 years ago. Jesus tells a parable in Luke chapter 10. It's a pretty famous parable. This is where, if you've heard the term Good Samaritan, this is where this comes from. And Jesus tells this cool, really parable about this guy that, you know, it was hurt and was in need and people passed him by. And there was one person that actually had the right operating system to pull over and serve this person. And he told us this whole parable, and this teacher of the law, as they say, walks up to him. Teachers of the law, so like really religious people, they're really locked in on what the whole God thing is. And so the teacher of the law rolls up, and he raises his hand. He's like, I have a question. And he's really kind of looking for a loophole, because he's a super religious guy. And he's like, yeah, you're telling us to serve the world, but I think I'm good, and I need your validation that I'm good. And so he asks this question right here. When Jesus says, hey, you need to serve your neighbor, he asks this question. Yeah, but who is my neighbor? Like, how crazy do I have to get with this, right? Because I'm pretty locked in on this whole religious thing. You know, he's hoping Jesus is gonna go like, yeah, teacher of the law, actually, you're good. You know, you're religious, you show up, you do all the right things. You know, don't worry about your neighbor, you're good. This is for the people that are trying to make their way to me. You know, he looks back at this guy, he's like, you know, I know you're busy, I know you're stressed, I know you get a pass, and so no need for you to serve. That's what this teacher of the law is hoping Jesus will say. But actually, Jesus instead says, hey, guess what? I need your default operating system in this world. I need it to be all about serving other people. That you should serve anybody that in your world that has a need, that's what I want your operating system to be. And he says, oh, and by the way, if everybody's great in your world, you need to go out and find somebody. If you don't see anybody, then you go out and find them. And this guy's like, okay, so me too. Yeah, exactly. So it's pretty clear direction from the home office, you know, that we should be serving, right? We get that. Okay, this is the way we should be. We should walk through the world in this way. And I know that I can serve, right? I know, and you'd feel it too. I know I can serve, but for me, it's easier for me to serve people that I love. It's easy for me to serve my wife. It's easy for me to serve my daughter. You, of course, maybe the person behind you, but certainly you. You know, the people that I love, service comes easy. But then when you get a step removed from that, it gets a little bit more difficult. You know, I'm good with like love your wife, love your daughter, love your family, love your neighbor. That gets a little harder for me, right? And maybe it is for you. And if it's not hard for you to love your neighbor, then I would encourage you to go onto your neighborhood Facebook page and get a part of that group or download Nextdoor. Do you guys do this? Do you have Nextdoor? Are you on like a neighborhood Facebook page? This is completely my issue, by the way. This is not about my neighbors. This is about me. I have a low threshold for grace for my neighbors when it comes to what they do in this Facebook group. They're weird. And if you're like, no, I don't have any neighbors like that, heads up, it might be you. You may be that neighbor, okay? So just giving you a little bit of a warning, you're like, I think everybody's good. They're all looking at you, okay? But, you know, it's funny because if you're like me, you've got neighbors that frustrate you some days. And you're like, gosh, I need to have more grace. If I'm going to serve my neighbor, I have to have grace for them. And because they post things like I had a neighbor that posted this a couple of months ago, just posted on our Facebook group. Did anybody hear that? Yeah, exactly. You know, everybody has the neighbor that posts the, I saw a fox. Did anybody see that fox? There's a person that always sees the fox in the neighborhood. And they always feel like, I saw a fox today. And I'm like, okay. And now I'm sad that I didn't see the fox. You know, I'm frustrated by that. Or they're like, you need to put your pets inside because there's a fox in the neighborhood. And then I get frustrated. My neighbors have pets that can't beat a fox in a fight. I'm like, who has a pet that can't beat a fox, you know?
This is helpful for me, by the way, to get this off my chest. This is very therapeutic. We are sometimes in our neighborhood, there's evidently a training pattern for military jets. They probably come out of Dobbins, but they come over pretty low sometimes. And a neighbor a year ago, got frustrated and was like, I hate all this airplane noise. Who do I call? And I'm like, the Pentagon? I don't know who you call about Dobbins Airport, you know, and here's the final one for me. You guys might be this, and if it is you, I love you too, but here's the thing that freaks me out in my neighborhood. We get this post about a couple times a summer. Is this a good snake or a bad snake? I would love to live my life in complete ignorance that this creature exists in my neighborhood. And I'm confused. Is this person like standing next to it waiting to figure out the fate of this thing? Is it like, did it capture it? And you're like, I'm going to kill it if you say no. If you say yes, I'm going to let it go. And if we let it go, we're going to go hunt it down. I don't know. But the snake post, it just freaks me out. I would like to not. And so if you can relate to me, you feel this low empathy some days for how to get motivated to serve, as we're called to do, the people that are literally just across the street from you, much less across the city from us. You know, I feel that in myself. And it's, like I said, it's my issue. And hopefully if we're in this together, it kind of explains that we're all in it together, and it explains why we feel it, because we're tired and we're, nervous, and we're just kind of stretched in thin directions. But also, too, it doesn't explain what to do with that. And so the good news for us is I think there are words for us in the scriptures. The Apostle Paul tells us a lot about what to do. So if you know, Old Testament is everything that happened in the Bible, God's story before Jesus. And then you have the New Testament, starts out with first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Those are the Gospels. That's the story of Jesus's life. And then after that, there are the epistles. And these are just letters that were basically written back and forth between churches that were being planted that were following the way of Jesus. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, was one of these church planters that would go from place to place and plant these churches and write letters back to them. And most of the New Testament, 13 of the books of the New Testament, are letters that Paul wrote back to these places telling them how to live the Christian life and what to do. And one of the ones he wrote back was to an area called Galatia. Galatia is in modern-day Turkey. You can go there now. You can see ruins. And Paul planted a church, helped plant a church in Galatia, and then moved on and wrote a letter back to that. And in our Bible, it's called the Book of Galatians, which makes sense. And so Paul wrote to this town of Galatia. Galatia is a unique town, like a lot of them, but it was a really diverse town. It was, part of it was really secular. Part of it worshiped any god under the stars that they made up. And there was a small body of them were starting to follow Jesus. And so Paul writes back to them, and we learn a little bit about Paul and what he cares about most as he wrote back to them. And I just want to read you a little bit because I think it answers our tension today. It answers our question. So this is in Galatians 5. Paul writes this back to the church in Galatia. He says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free." First thing to know about Paul is a huge fan of freedom. The first five chapters of the book of Galatians, Paul goes on and on and on about freedom in Christ. He says, the gospel, the message of Jesus is about grace. It's not about rule following. You can't perform your way to earn God's love. I want you to know that if there's anything you need to know, to understand the gospel, to follow Jesus is, I am speaking on behalf of God, love the fact that you're free. I love that this and the whole point of the gospel was to set you free. And so it's important to me that you live like it. I don't want you to be enslaved by guilt. I don't want you to be enslaved by obligation that isn't of your own. I want everything that you do in your life to come out of you and to know that you're deeply loved by your Heavenly Father. Paul loves that we have the free will to do whatever we want to in our lives. He loves that we have this free will to what we do with our time and our energy and what we do with our money. He loves that about our lives. But Paul also follows this back up with his permission around freedom follows back up with some words of caution. Paul's really, it's like, hey, I love that you have freedom. And after celebrating our freedom, he gives us kind of this warning flare, if you will. And he keeps going in this same passage. He says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh." Paul introduces this word to us, the flesh. He says, there's something in you called the flesh that you are gonna have a tendency to indulge. And it is there because you have freedom. And Paul loves that we have freedom. But he also says, there is an internal force that will manipulate you to into living a life or a mode that goes against the best way that God wants you to live your life. He said, I just want you to know that's there, right? And he calls this the flesh. He's like, there is an engine inside of you that you can't fully trust. And to be clear, Paul's not being critical. He's not coming down on it, but he's being realistic. Because Paul knows this about us. He knows this about himself. He knows that we're deeply loved by God. None of this is about your worth. But he says, inside of you, you will have this. And he also knows that our flesh bends us toward selfishness and consumption to build our lives around ourselves. He said, we all have that engine, Paul says, including myself. And he says, this is important to know that he wants us to know that we have this default, which is to leverage the freedom that he's happy that we have, the freedom to spend our time and our money and our energy and our focus on me. He's like, I know that I have that, and that is my default operating system. Because in just a few verses later, he talks about this a little more. He teases this out a little bit more. And he says this just a few verses later in the book of Galatians. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, this way that God would lead us to, following the way of Jesus, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. So he says, you know, this is important understanding about yourself. There is a way of Jesus, and then there's a way of the flesh inside of all of us, and they are in battle for each other. And so if you feel it in you, yes, you are right on. And he advises the way of the Spirit is the way to go. Fight it, fight against the flesh, follow the way of the Spirit, and in that you will find the most freedom, he says. And it's in that you'll also find the discovery to a lot of the questions that we start asking about in our lives, about where does our joy come from? And what does our purpose come from? And why am I here? And a lot of these existential questions are found in this way of the Spirit, but to do that, we're gonna have to work against the way of the flesh. So knowing that, I think Paul loves it when we ask this kind of question, because it's true and it's authentic, and I think Paul loves it when we ask the question, so what if I don't feel like serving others? Paul's like, thank you for asking the question we're all thinking, because it is a question that's born out of this internal conflict in us. It's a question that's born out of this battle within us. And Paul would say, of course you feel that way. I feel that way. I think every human on the planet that seeks to do better is gonna feel that tension. Because Paul's like, when I pick up my feet and I just flow down the current of my life and just go wherever my feelings go most days, it's gonna end up being a life that's all about me too. Paul says, I get it. And spoiler alert, the fleshy, the self-consumptive side of us is a liar. Because it'll sucker you in, going, be about yourself, fight for you, make you number one. And what you're gonna find is that that's gonna answer all of the questions that you have, and it's gonna put you in the spot in life that you're gonna find the most freedom and the most enjoyment and the most purpose. And he says, that's a lie. He says, it's not. But Paul implores us to walk by the Spirit, find the way of Jesus, and walk in it upstream, absolutely. And he's like, it will be an upstream walk, but I promise you it will be better. It will be a better walk, although be it upstream. But expect that walk to feel counterintuitive, and expect it in some ways to be countercultural. And so he goes on and he tips off this strategy on how to live in the way of the Spirit and walk against the flesh. And he says, hey, I'll just tell you the best way to do this. If you want to walk counterculturally and find your way into the way of the Spirit, here's what it is. And he says, rather than walking in the flesh, serve one another humbly in love. He's like, there it is. I'll give you as weird as it sounds, if you wanna find the most freedom, if you wanna get the most joy and purpose and out of life, serve one another humbly in love. If you wanna find the most, you wanna be the most satisfied, you wanna find the most fulfillment, go after that. Serve other people. It won't feel natural, but serve other people. He said otherwise, here's a great mission statement for your life. He says otherwise, real freedom isn't found in consumption, but in contribution. He says, as weird as it feels, the most freedom comes when you are making someone else's life better than being consumed with making your own life better. He said, our heart feels most free on the days that our hands are the busiest, working for the good of others. And the crowd's like me, it says, maybe, right? Because if you feel the resistance, I feel it every time I read passages and have little statements like this. I'm like, oh, I know that, but I want to feel it. I want to feel it. But Paul goes on, and I love that the word choices that we make, and some of these word choices that kind of drain away when we read it in the English, but Paul made some very specific word choices that remind us that this will be a choice to serve other people. The words that he uses in this passage, rather serve one another humbly in love. Humility means you before me, and it's a choice. The word means, hey, I'm going to put you before me, your needs before mine, but I'm going to choose to do that because that's a walk upstream. And he also uses, and we lose this in the English, in the Greek, where this was originally written, love, there were different versions of love, different types of love. And I think we have these as well. They all kind of get grouped into the English word love. But he uses the word agape. Agape is a Greek word, and it's a self-giving type of love. I chose to live in this love for you, self-giving. It's not eros, which is another Greek term that maybe you've heard, which means romantic love. It's not phileia, which is the same as the word that started the word Philadelphia, if you're from Philadelphia. This means brotherly or friendship love. He's like, no, this is agape love. You know, serve one another humbly in agape love, in agape. I want you to choose to love other people, and I'm giving you the choose word because it's not going to be natural. It's a choice of the will to seek the good of others, even when you don't feel like it. And then Paul kind of wraps this thought up, and he kind of sums this all up in an operating instructions for life. And understated in that is this is the operating system that will make you the most freest and the most joy-filled life. He sums it all up, and he also issues a challenge, and it's great for those of us that love a goal. And he says, here's my challenge for you. For the entire law, if you want to know the whole deal of God, if you want to know the whole initiative of God all through the Old Testament, if you want to sum all that up in a word, if you want to know what this is all about, the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Just one thing and everything else is going to fall in place. Love your neighbor as yourself. And here's the goal setting part of this. He says, I want you to sum all this up. This is God's entire playbook for your world. And it can be distilled down into this. It's the summary, it's the North Star, it's the cheat sheet, it's the entire thing. Love your neighbor with the same amount of natural energy that you have to love yourself. He said, that's your watermark. Make it your life, as much as you naturally feel like this is all about me and you want to do everything about yourself, use that as your watermark. Love the world that much. Which we're like, wow, that's daunting. Because he's like, hey, if you can do that, you will be most free in your heart. And when you do that, you're going to be able to love your neighbor. You're going to be the most alive in your joy. You're going to find parts of you that you didn't know exist. And you're going to love and serve your neighbor, and it's going to take you to the next love in your life. So the hard part about this when you talk about these things, I'm not asking you to just conceptually believe this. I would actually rather you not. Like, I walked there like, you convinced me, I believe it. I would actually rather you try it. Because I think this is one of those things you think, well, I'm going to try it. I'm going to do it when I believe it. Actually, it's the opposite of that. I'll believe it once I do it. And so I want to give you two ways that I think that you can start to try out a life of serving other people. And they're really in two categories. And the first one is this. And that is to serve those that are in your space. This is kind of like the low-hanging fruit for you. You've got people that you're rubbing shoulders with every day. Try it this week. Just say every morning, wake up and go like, today I'm going to do everything that I can to walk upstream and serve those that are in my space well. And that might start with something really simple. And I'm going to stretch what I think serving is. I'm going to just send encouraging texts today, text messages. 5 text messages today I'm going to send to somebody and just serve them by encouraging them. Hey, I know this is a rough season for you. Hey, I just want you to know I'm here for you. Let me know what we can do. Hey, you've been a part of my life. Thank you. Thank you for the way you've given to me. I appreciate you. That's an act of service to the world. That's serving. Try it. See how it makes you feel. I think this goes down into giving out gift cards. The days that you hear like, hey, there's somebody that's going through a tough spot. You know, they've had health issues going on with their extended family. Hey, we're going to just send them out to dinner. I'm going to send them a gift card. Somebody, a single mom in your neighborhood that's hardly making ends meet, send them a gift card. That's serving those that are in your space. I think it's going to the educators in your life, the people that are educating your teachers, and going like, hey, what do you need? You need anything? You need me to buy boxes of Kleenex? I'll buy you boxes of Kleenex. You need crayons? I'll buy you crayons. It's giving back to the people in your world, putting wind in their sails. It's bringing donuts to the meeting. I know you're like, ah, those people in the meeting don't. No, you're serving other people. And maybe that's just as much for you as it is for them. It's thanking people in your world that don't get thanked very much. Before you buzz off from the person that checked you out or at the counter at Target or the person that waited on your table, just thank them. Go like, hey, I appreciate you. You're so good at what you do. That's how you serve the world. I think it's letting people merge in front of you. That's like next level, guys. That's like in the Lord's name only. This is not me. This is not the flesh. This is Jesus through me. Come on in. Hurry it up though, because this gap is closing, right? That's next level. I think it's just smiling at people. We live in a world just smiling at someone's an act of service. I think it's praying for people. When you're like, I'm gonna pray for you, really pray for them. It's an act of service. And you can start this week. And sometimes it means serving those like that in your world, but sometimes it means serving people across the city. I think it's somebody that's outside of your normal airspace and making a deliberate plan to use your time and your energy to serve somebody else. And this is why we emphasize service during Be Rich. This is why. And it's why we encourage you to serve people, not just in your space, but serve those in need in our city. We have tremendous opportunities that are just a few miles away. Anywhere you go in your city, you are never very far away from people and organizations that are doing great things that could use your help. And it's why we vet these amazing nonprofit partners through Be Rich and all year long through our Intersect initiative. It's the reason that we have built partnerships specifically here in Decatur, for people like the Decatur Education Foundation. People like Friends of Refugees and Our House that are working to end homelessness and Atlanta Mission and City of Refuge like you just saw. People that are doing creative things like Friends of Refugees that are helping people resettle. And places like MedShare that are doing really unique, creating unique solutions to help medical supplies get all over the world. And it's inspiring to watch this happen. And our goal for Be Rich, like you mentioned, is yes, it is to collect money and to give all that money away, but it's also our goal in Be Rich is to be able to unleash a wave of volunteer hours on our partners. And so just allowing them to feel the wave of our churches with people that walk into their world to say, how can we help? Because each of our partners, and this is important for our strategy, we pick partners that have volunteer opportunities as well. Because we love to be able to send volunteers that way to do great work, but also too, we love the impact that it has on those in our churches that serve. And so we're gonna give you a QR code today. You're gonna have it up here. But also too, we're gonna give you a card on the way out today. And that QR code is kind of your portal into be able to figure out what some of these opportunities are for those of you that wanna serve in our city. Because when you go to this QR code, it's going to take you to the website and you're going to see all of our different partners. And honestly, if you're in a different part of the city and you drive into Decatur, but you're closer to Buckhead or Gwinnett or somewhere else, you can look on some of our other networks, churches. They have partners as well. And figure out, go to some of these partners and go to their websites. They all have a volunteer section on their websites. Go to those and see what the opportunities are and sign up and serve. It's what we love to do. And part of this is, and knowing that the tendency inside of all of us will be to drop this little card on the counter with the QR code on it this week, and it's just gonna sit there for a few weeks, and you're gonna see it, and it's gonna make you feel bad. And then eventually, you're just gonna kind of move that into the trash, right? That's the tendency. I know how that feels. The road to inactivity in your life in terms of this category of service is paved with good intentions. You intended to, but that's the tendency, right? But to walk by the Spirit means, no, we're actually gonna pray on it a little bit. We're gonna actually do our research on it. We're gonna scan the code. We're gonna talk about it, and we're gonna get a plan together. And we're gonna work to do that. And honestly, too, if you already have a heart for somewhere else in the city, God's broken your heart for some other nonprofit or somebody that's doing great work in the city, go serve there. We don't have the corner on all these opportunities, but serve somewhere. If you already have a connection with an organization, you know, re-engage with them. Say, how can I help? Because part of what I want to do is be a light in the world and be a service in the world, but I also, too, I want to be able to walk in the Spirit and get what God has for me, and that's not selfish. So if you already have one of those, but the goal, honestly, is just for wherever you go in your world, whether it be in your space or in our city, is to be generous and with your time and your energy. That's the goal. And the goal is so, honestly, it can be really fun. You can serve with your friends. These organizations that we partner with, they have opportunities for you to serve with a small group. They have a lot of opportunities you can serve with your kids. And you can get in there and serve together. The point is just to serve. And then to notice how you feel. Notice how it feels. And honestly, I'll tell you, it will surprise you some days. Because you're like, okay, I'm promise you, I'm gonna walk in the Spirit. You've told me. And then notice how it feels. Like Paul said, serving is so counterintuitive. It really is. And it doesn't honestly make any sense. Why giving away gives you back something more than if I worked full time on myself? And I can't really explain it. I can't explain it. I wish I could. I've seen it on my best days. I've felt it when I've put something out there in the name of the betterment of somebody else and humbly loved and served somebody else and found myself in a different spot in terms of my heart and my mind. But I watch it here too. And I've seen it in people's faces, just like these faces. I've seen people in our churches serve. And I've seen the impact, and I've heard the stories, and I've seen them engage and keep engaging and keep engaging. And suddenly they realize, oh my gosh, my heart is pulled toward the mission of this organization or what's going on in this part of our city. They have a look of joy that's a little unexplainable. But they also have a freedom that's a little bit unexplainable as well. And so if you're hesitant, you know, here's a little bit of homework for you as well. Maybe find somebody that you know, like this person in our world does a good job of serving somewhere. They serve the world and I feel like they do a great job, and go to them and ask them. I would just say, hey, let me get a quick call. Let me get a couple of minutes for you. I got a question for you. I know you're super involved in this or this cause or you're serving, and ask them, hey, why do you do that? I would love for you to hear it, not just from me, you know, the preacher guy that's supposed to say stuff like this. From people that have the freedom in their world to do whatever they want to with their time, ask them, why do you do that? What have you discovered in that? Why do you keep doing it? I see you wanting to keep doing this over and over and over again. Ask them why. And they'll always say some sort of version of like, well, I started and I thought I was giving up something, time or a hobby or whatever else to serve, but I've found something even better. And in that, I've gotten more return in what I've gotten from what I felt like I give. And they'll even as far as to say, my faith honestly is different because I am working to walk in the Spirit and walk upstream and serve the world around me. It's hard to explain, but find somebody in your world and ask them that. And it's not explainable because this is the upside down way of Jesus to begin with. Jesus is the one that we follow that came into this world not to lord over it, even though he is the Lord, but to come and to serve it. And he calls us to the same. He says, my goal for you is to, amid all of your worry and your stress and your lack of time, I'll tell you that you'll find something that will set your heart free and it'll set your mind free. And it might just unlock a category of purpose or interaction with the world that you might not know exists. And it's inviting us. Christ is inviting us in our free will to come and be a part of it. So my prayer for you individually, my prayer for us as a church is that we would be people that fight the fleshly urge to make our lives about ourselves, but save time to say our goal is to be able to meet the call of Jesus to serve in our community. And we're gonna be a church that always has an answer of where can I serve through our Intersect initiative and specifically in this season through Be Rich. And so we encourage you to do that. So my challenge to you is to go, to give, and to serve, and to love the community, and to be rich in the time and the energy that you have. Because this is what it means to be a light in our community. And this is what it means to walk out the way of the Spirit in our community. And it also, this is what it means to walk closely with Jesus, who loves you and cherishes you, but also has something for you as well. And my prayer for you is that you will find it. Let me pray for us, and then we'll wrap up. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you are the God that came into our worlds, that Jesus came into our world to flip it upside down, to serve the world, to show what humility and love looks like. And Father, we just ask that we might be those people. God, the obstacles and the resistance in our lives, me included, are very real. Schedule, energy, time, fear, skepticism, they're all there, God. And so I just ask that you help us to be courageous. You help us to pray to you and that you might show us the way that you'd want us to go. But in the mission to serve you, to serve those that are around us and to serve our city and our world well. God, you've called us to serve, not to put us to work, to use us, but God, you've called us to be people that receive something special through the way that we find to serve in the place that you've broken our heart. God, thank you for Jesus. Thanks you for the way he gives us a mission to do this. And we pray all this in his name. Amen.